Well, it's good to be back in Texas, I think. The temperature is here a little hotter. One morning we were up on the mountains and it was 56 degrees. That's quite a bit cooler than here in Texas. But we thought about putting a log on the fireplace and then backed out. But it's good to be home, it really is. And let's take our Bibles now as we continue our study, Striving Together. And today we want to deal with the subject of striving together in the body of Christ, or as the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let me read about three verses here, and then we'll be referring to some other verses along the way. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and verses 12 through 14, and then jumping over to verse 27. For 33 and a half years, Jesus was here in his physical body, but now the Lord Jesus Christ is here in the presence of his church, the local church, in this sense as his spiritual body. And we think of the church as a body, and especially the local church. In 1 Corinthians 12:12, for as the body is one and hath many members, think of your own body there, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, think of all the parts you have in your body, so also is Christ. So also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. It's one body, but many members. Verse 27, now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. We are the body of Christ, members in particular. Romans 12, 4 and 5 reiterates this. He says, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, and we don't have the same thing to do, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Ephesians 1, 23, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Ephesians 4:12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. He gives all these gifts, edifying the body of Christ. And then Colossians 1:24, who now rejoicing in my suffering for you, and fill up that which is behind of the affliction of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. For his body's sake, which is the church. And there are many other verses like that. So we have the function of the church in the world. God has ordained the church. We are that body, the body of Christ. And the church has the purpose of doing God's will, doing whatever God asks us to do, honoring him, and mainly pointing other people to Jesus Christ so they can be saved. We have a reason for existing and a purpose for doing that, and we have to remember that we've all been bought with a price. You don't belong to yourself today. You belong to the Lord, and the body belongs to him, and we're to serve him and to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the song we're familiar with, Onward Christian Soldiers. And the third verse of that, I think, describes our role as the body of Christ. Like a mighty army moves the church of God. Brothers, we are treading where the saints have trod. We are not divided, all one body we, one in hope and doctrine, one in charity, one in love. We're one body in Christ. The songwriter had it right. He must have known his doctrinal truths properly. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 gives us some of the details of that body. And so, First of all, we have the ministry. If you have your notes there, the word ministry in your blank, we have the ministry of the Spirit. The ministry of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and that's verses 4 through 11. When Jesus left and departed this earth, he gave a promise, and the promise was that the Holy Spirit would come. Acts 1:4, being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith thee, ye have heard of me. And that was the promise of the Holy Spirit coming and indwelling them and giving them the power to carry out the commission that he had given to the church. So there are a couple of benefits, main benefits, what we think of when we think of the fact that when he went away, he sent the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:4-7, going and looking at those verses, he says, now there are diversities of gifts, different gifts. We're part of the body, we have different gifts, but the same Spirit, the same Holy Spirit. Now there are different administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is given to every man to profit withal. God is working through the Holy Spirit, gifting us and wanting to use us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so there's really quite a miracle that takes place because of that. And that is this, that though we have so many differences, there is a unity. We are all different in a lot of different ways, aren't we? And probably no two of us, we don't even have the same fingerprint or thumbprint. We're all different. And yet, the miracle of it is that we are unified. We're working together through the power of the Holy Spirit. You get that many personalities that are together outside of the Lord, then you're going to have more problems. But because of the Holy Spirit, we're unified. And so we look at ourselves. We have different personalities. We have different backgrounds. Some of you were raised very poor, didn't have much money. Some of you were very blessed. Maybe your family had a lot of money. Some great emphasis on education. Some maybe not so much. We all come from different backgrounds, different parts of the country, all of those things. We have different strengths. We have different weaknesses in our lives. The one thing we have in common is this. If we're saved, we're all placed into the body of Christ, and we all have the Holy Spirit living in us, which will give us the great miracle of unity, even though we're all so different. Dr. Ouellette, some of you have probably heard him preach, but an author and pastor and a fundamentalist, he's commented on the challenges of the accomplishing the unity, especially in the local church, with all the variety that is there in that local church. And he explained it, and I quote him, God does not expect unanimity. God does not expect unanimity. He expects unity. God doesn't expect us all to be alike or to agree on everything, but he does expect us to have unity. And we are to arrive at the same conclusion by serving the Lord, and we are not to allow those little differences that are our preferences, all of those things, to break up the unity that we should have in the Lord, the unity of the Spirit. And God wants to help us by doing that. And so he's given us one Bible. He's given us one set of doctrine that I was to believe once delivered to the church. And he has given us the power of the Holy Spirit. All of that comes together to give us unity. And that's the result of it, the miracle of unity. Some of you saw the guy who got his leg hung between the train and the concrete the other day, and all of a sudden a lot of people rallied and they shoved that train up, and they pulled his leg out and he went away. Well, that was a good illustration of everybody, at least for a short period of time, working together in unity to accomplish a task. And we can work together in the Lord's work to be able to do that. And then he provides a mosaic of giftedness. He provides a mosaic of giftedness. God gives us that in verses 8 through 11. Listen to what he says as he describes it. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. The Holy Spirit giving one thing, one another, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues or languages, to another the interpretation of tongues, and but all these worketh, verse 11 says, that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. And so we are in one body, according to Christ, and yet there is a wide variety of spiritual gifts that God gives in the body, just like the parts of your body have different functions. And God gives that variety of spiritual gifts. And he takes that and pieces together a mosaic. You see these windows over here. These were handmade by a lady in her garage out behind her house. And each one of those depicts something. But there are a bunch of little parts in that. If you were to take them by themselves, you'd say, well, that's a pretty gold-looking piece of glass. But when she put them all together, she did a great job of it. And we have these things that are here, and it forms a dove or a Bible or whatever it is, praying hands. And so that's the way we are in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, the different pieces of the mosaic coming together. And God gives all of these different variety of spiritual gifts. The gifts are given by God's grace. And that word grace there means that it's something that he has provided through his power and giving us the ability to do that. So it is the gift or the grace of God, just like salvation. Romans 12, 6 through 8. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, God enabling us to do it, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, leadership, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. And so there are those gifts that were given. Now, some of the gifts were temporary gifts. Keep that in mind, or you'll get confused with what's going on today. There were some temporary sign gifts that were given to establish the validity of Christianity and the church in the early days. And those different gifts were temporary gifts to verify all of that. Then when the Bible was completed, the completed canon, or the Word of God, those things were no longer needed. They were temporary. And there was the gifts of healing, tongues, and words of knowledge. You hear a lot about that today. But those are temporary gifts. They're no longer in existence. They're no longer biblical. And any of those things are contrary to the Word of God. But there are at least seven permanent edifying gifts that God has given us for that local body. And I think back in those verses 6 through 8, he's told us about those gifts. Now, let's talk about them very quickly. Number one, he talks about prophecy. What does that mean? Well, that carries the idea of preaching and discernment. Prophecy, preaching and discernment. And then ministry. He mentions that in these verses. That has the idea of helping or serving. Something we can do. Help out or serve. Teaching, the idea here is helping others understand truth. There are those who are very gifted who are gifted to teach, and they help other people really understand the Bible. Exhortation carries the idea of encouragement. all of us could be encouragers, but there are some that just sort of have a great gift of encouragement. God gives them that. They don't say all the negative. They don't say all the bad. They just are encouragers, and we all love people like that. And then giving, it carries the idea of being very generous. There are some people who can really make money and to whom much is given, much is expected, and they can give. They just have that ability to do that, and it carries the idea of generosity. Ruling carries the idea of administration. There are some people that are just great secretaries, and they can keep the books, and they administrate things, and they organize things. And then mercy carries the idea of people who have great compassion. And there are some people who just have the gift of mercy, and they're very gracious with other people. While some would be very hard on them, they would be very, very merciful to them. Now, the gifts are chosen by God's will. You don't choose the gift. The gifts are chosen by God's will. 1 Corinthians 12:11, but all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, that is, the Holy Spirit, brings it to pass to happen, dividing to every man severally as he will. He gives the gifts. The gifts you have were given to you by God. God divides them, and he gives us these gifts not for our glory, but for his glory. Whatever gifts you have should be for his glory and to be used to do that. And so we shouldn't question the gifts God's given us. We should accept the gifts that God has given us. Romans 9:20, nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? It's not a good idea to compare your gifts with everybody else and say, why didn't he give me that gift? Why can't I do like that? Why can't I sing like that? Why can't I speak? Why can't I? There are a lot of things you can do that people like that are not able to do, and you can do those things better. We give at the church an annual spiritual gifts test. And the reason we do that is to let some people finally discover what their gifts are, and the idea is not just information, but it's also that they would get involved and take those gifts and use those gifts for the glory of God. Not just to titillate their mind, but to get them involved with the gifts that God gives. So we have the ministry of the Spirit. And then secondly, we have the metaphor of the body. The metaphor of the body. And that's verses 12 through 21. And he's given us these things to help us understand the life and ministry of the local church. The life and ministry, what we're supposed to be doing as a local church. Its members in the Bible are referred to as a flock. Acts 20:29, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. There are other verses that back that up. And then the church is compared to a building. We have that, Ephesians 2:21, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. And then the church is described as the house of God, 1 Peter 4:17. Judgment must begin at the house of God. And 1 Peter 2:5 talks about it, we're built a spiritual house. And there are other verses for that also. And then we are called the bride of Christ, the church. 2 Corinthians 11:2. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. The church is presented as the bride of Christ. Revelation 19:7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. But the body of Christ is the term that is most often used in the Bible describing the church of the living God, the body of Christ, and that's used most often. So, we are many, and yet we are one body. We are many, and yet we are one body. Going back to 1 Corinthians 12, he tells us that again, verses 12 through 14, as one, as the body is one, hath many members, All the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews and Gentiles. We're made part of that body. And when Christ prayed, one of the prayers that he prayed that we're familiar with was a prayer for unity. He prayed for unity. John 17, 20 through 22. This is one of the main prayers that we're familiar with that he prayed. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. We are the body of Christ. We are one with Christ. And then we are mistaken when we compare within the body. It's a mistake for us to compare when we compare within the body. 1 Corinthians 12, look at verses 15 and 16. And just try to see the humor in this if you can. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Can you see the foot arguing with the hand? They're saying, you know, he's saying, well, I'm not you, so I'm not part of the body. Oh, yes, you are. And then he says, and if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Of course it's part of the body. And so what he's warning us here is to watch out, because what we'll do if we're not careful, we'll start giving attention not to our gift, our part of the body, what we're to do, but we'll start looking at other people's gifts and comparing ourselves with their gifts, and our attention will get on others. And then when we do that, we start comparing, and if you're not careful, you'll think, well, what I have is not important, what I can do is not important, look at what they do. That's not the issue. God says, I've put you in the body, I've given you the gifts that I've given you. Use your gifts the way you use your gifts. The same thing will happen to us, or another thing will happen to us, is we'll start being judgmental. We'll criticize others because of their gift, simply because we don't have their gift. Or we will begin to resent the fact that we don't have their gift. Or we will become jealous of their gift. God doesn't want that. God gives the gifts. They're given by the Holy Spirit in the local church, the body of Christ. You have your gift or gifts, and we need to use those and not be jealous or envious of other people's gifts. And so if we make that mistake, or when we make that mistake, then we render ourselves ineffective in our role where God has placed us and in our responsibility. And every gift is important. All of the parts of the body are important to God, the local church. 2 Corinthians 10, 12, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. We don't need to be comparing gifts. And then we are made purposefully unique for the body. We are made purposefully unique for the body. 1 Corinthians 12, 17 through 20. He says, if the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If you're just one eyeball, you couldn't hear anything. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet one body. So Christ placed us there. He tells us that in verse 18. God set the members, every one of them, in his body. He did it. God said it. So here's some principles that are given about that. And let me give you just a few of them. Number one, there is a job for me to do within the local body. Please understand that. You say, well, I'm just supposed to come and soak and sour and not serve. That's wrong. Everybody has something you can do. There is a job for me to do within the local body. You say, well, I don't know what it is. We'll find out. We'll help you find out. But there's something you can do. And then I was specifically put here by God to do that job. Whatever it is, God put you here to do it. And then no one is as uniquely equipped to do that job as I am. God wants you to do that particular job. And if I don't accomplish the job God has for me, the church, and this is so important, if I don't accomplish the job God has for me, the church won't reach its potential, and God will not be pleased. The reason churches do not reach their potential, among other reasons, is that people do not function in the body with their gifts. They just put them on the shelf and let them stay there. We need to do it in order for the church to reach its potential. And then the gifts and abilities that God has invested in my life are a stewardship. That is, we're responsible for it. There's stewardship to be used for His glory, pardon me, His pleasure and His purpose. 1 Peter 4:10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We're supposed to function. And then we are meant for one another within the body. D in your notes. We're meant for one another within the body. 1 Corinthians 12:21. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of thee. In other words, we need each other. And we need each other in our church. We all need each other. Romans 14:7, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. We don't need any Lone Ranger Christians. We need Christians who are part of the body. And then thirdly, the members of the church, verses 22 through 31. We'll have to hurry with some of these, but it's we're members of the church. That membership is far more important than your membership at Sam's Club or the Kiwanis Club or any other club or any other organization that you're a member of. And it is different. The church is different from any other organization that you're a member of. And the reason is that we are, number one, connected to each other, and then we are connected to Christ. That makes it different. This is an unusual and unique organization. For as we have many members in one body, all members have not the same office. We are to function to the glory of God. So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. And then there's the myth about the members, a myth about the members of the church, 1 Corinthians 12:22-24, nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Get that. The parts of the body that seem to be more feeble are yet necessary. They are necessary. Everybody's important. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor, to that part which is lacked. God's ways are not our ways. Isaiah reminds us of that in chapter 55. We tend to estimate one's value on their appearance, their abilities, and their affluence. We do that in our local churches if we're not careful. Their appearance and their abilities and their affluence. But God values each member equally as God puts them in that body. And sometimes the least favored members are the most crucial for the carrying out of the work in the body. If you are having surgery on two parts of your body, one was nose and one was heart, and triple bypass, which one would you think was most important? If the doctor said you need two surgeries, one is for your heart to keep beating and you need a triple bypass, or one is to correct your nose a little bit, which one would you think is more important? And yet the prominent thing is the nose, as far as looks on the outside, but not the heart. And so prominence does not equal importance. Please remember that in the local church. Too many churches, liberal churches, take people because of their money, their prominence, put them in great important positions, and they don't qualify to be in those positions at all. And then there is a ministering among the members. You'll just have to look at that in verses 25 through 26. He says there shouldn't be a schism in the body. There shouldn't be divisions in the body. There ought to be unity in the body of Christ. And the early church was always busy, and they were adding and multiplying. The devil got in, and the devil's job is always subtracting and dividing. That's what he wants to do. But we need to add and multiply. And then there's the master above the members. Verse 27, ye are the body of Christ. He's the master. What part of your body tells the rest of your body what to do? Your brain, your head. Well, who's the head of the church? The Lord Jesus Christ is the head of the church. And so Ephesians 1, 22 through 23, Ephesians 5, 23, those are verses you can jot down. And then there's a mission available to the members. We'll finish up verses 28 through 31. He talks about the different areas of serving. Do all have certain gifts? And we all do not have the same gifts, but we do all have the same task, and that is to bring glory to God and serve the Lord. And we have to do all of that. Now, do you know today your role in the body of Christ? What is your role in the body of Christ? You say, no, I don't know. Well, let us help you. Ask us about it. We'll talk to you about it. Take that test, and we'll get you plugged in somewhere. There's something for everybody to do. And it is God's will for every saint to be a servant and every member of the church to be a minister. And we ask the question, are you building the body? Are you helping have a healthy body? Building the body, building up others? Are you comparing yourself and saying, well, I just can't do anything. I'm not important, or too much there that I cannot do. You see, what God wants in the body is everybody serving, functioning, and he wants unity in that body. There is a mission for all. Christ is the head. Christ gives us what to do to carry out the work. And it takes unity for us to function in our place in the body of Christ, the local New Testament church. Father, help us to be sure that we find our place, that we do not put our gifts on the shelf, that we find out what we can do and get busy doing it to edify, build up the local body of Christ, the New Testament church, to bring him glory. In Christ's name, amen.